This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let me tell you one thing. The Cowboys won today.
Dak Prescott is worth every penny.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Noticed on your Instagram account at MichaelIrvin88, you attended a Mavs Clippers game with Zeke and Dak. How is Dak?
Dak is back.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. 12-year NBA veteran Rex Chapman. Padres shortstop Jake Cronenworth. Plus, actress Emmanuel Shrieky, your phone calls, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. We're live here in Los Angeles, California, where we've got our Western Conference Finals going on. And good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you over there,
Rich,
sir?
What's happening, man?
Mr. Feller in for Del Tufo. Hey. That's doing something somewhere. Good to see you. How are you? How do you guys laugh about that? I honestly don't know. Hey, I got something to do. I'm going to go for it.
He's on his boat.
Wonderful. TJ Jefferson, good to see you here on this Friday in June.
The Clippers want to smoke, Rich. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know what to make of it. I don't know what to make of any of this anymore.
I don't either.
I have no idea what to make of
it. It was a weird game last night. Weird flow. I don't know if it was the early start. It was 6 p.m. in Los Angeles yesterday, which is a weird time for a game to start. Booker's got a mask on. Chris Paul hasn't played in 2 weeks.
And then like, the question is, it's like, you know, did Paul, was he vaccinated or not? I mean, did he get it and have symptoms or not? Did he have a close contact or not? Like, what the hell was that all about?
Yeah.
And I know everybody's health is their own private matter, but it kind of is something that we want. You know, and then he misses the first two games of the series and they win both of them. Then he returns and they lose it.
Right.
And there's no LeBron and there's no Steph Curry and there's no Kevin Durant and there's no Kyrie Irving and there's no James Harden and anybody can win it. I mean, anybody can win it. I know you kind of poo-pooed me saying the Hawks don't have a shot. You think they're fourth on the list of the four remaining teams.
Out of four, I think.
I'm going to basically shrug emoji. These are the shrug emoji NBA playoffs. I have no idea. Absolutely, the Clippers can win it all. Why the hell not? I mean, you can't sharpie their game four win, but this is what they do. They fall down in an 0-2 hole, and then they come out of it. Third straight series in which they've won a game three, in which they lost games one and two. And each of the times that they won game three, they went on to win game four. And we know that they traded wins and losses on each other's courts in the Dallas first round series. But the Clippers won four straight after losing the first two against the Jazz. Game four is Saturday night right here in Los Angeles. And, you know, how will Paul George handle the adversity of missing two free throws in Phoenix in game two? How does 27 points, 15 rebounds, 8 assists, game high 43 minutes, missing only one of seven free throws from the free throw line? How does that sound?
Good bounce back.
Tell me how that tastes, to use a Los Angeles phrase.
Nice.
You know, how about that? Reggie Jackson tossing in 23 of his own. Zubac with a double-double, career-high 16 rebounds, 15 and 16 for him. Terrence Mann scoring four straight buckets in a 21-3 run that leaves the Clippers up big in the third quarter, and they didn't look back. Terrence Mann, Reggie Jackson, Luke Kennard, Zubac.
Shaq Zubac.
Yeah.
Shaq Zubac.
And, you know, and then shrug emoji. What's Kawhi doing in a luxury box like he's the owner of the Clippers?
Now, is this a big deal to you?
He tweeted it out last night, and it is. Don't you think board man on the bench can give me?
We have our theories on this.
Yeah, we were talking about that this morning. Like, but what's he going to do? He doesn't talk much anyway. Is he going to coach the guys up?
He doesn't talk much to us. You don't know what he's like with his teammates.
It doesn't look like he says much during games. I don't know. But is it a health thing? Are they worried that he might be walking around and get banged by someone or run into?
Could be that.
Yeah, I mean,
like Larry David extending his legs.
Yeah. Does he just want to sit there and watch the game with his family?
That happened in Staples, too.
And also, we talked about this. Like, Patrick Beverley, that can never be him up in the suite. He's too demonstrative. He's always talking to, like, when he's hurt, he's trying to help. Kawhi, I just don't think that's him. And apparently it's not the first time it's happened.
The way I take it is that that looks like a guy who's done for the year. You know, let's just what point is it to basically say he's done for the year? Keep the Suns guessing. Not like the Suns are going to be disrupted in their preparation.
Right.
But just leaving it in the opponent's mind's eye is helpful, one would think. That's what I thought. But I don't know. Is Kawhi, like, don't you think he can add some 2 cents in a huddle in something?
I don't know. Look, apparently, obviously, the team was okay with it.
Yeah.
The organization was fine with it. So,
I mean, the team's okay with the organization. If Kawhi's like, hey, I'm going to go into the luxury suite that I have.
We were okay with it.
Of course they're okay with it.
Here's what we need
What else do you need, Kawhi? You want that dessert cart coming around the third quarter first? You get the dessert cart first.
You know about the Staples dessert cart.
I know. You know what he probably would want? Candied apples, because that's all he brought he brought in a bag of apples.
Allegedly. Here's what we need for game four. We need Kawhi on the baseline next to Ballmer. Let's go.
Screaming and yelling?
No, just sitting there so we can just get like the contrast of Ballmer losing his mind and Kawhi just sitting there like, hey.
I don't know. I think my man that sits next to Ballmer ain't trying to let that seat go, man. The same dude's next to him.
Mm-hmm.
Weird game, but hey, look, we got a series now, so that's fun.
Yeah. I mean, let's be very honest about something. And I know it's going to sound because I'm a Clipper fan, but if you really look at this, having to play game one 36 hours after when the Bucks got 3 days rest and losing game two on that valley oop, the Clippers could
pack it in.
Well, pack it in, or they could be up 3-0 right now.
Well, I mean, you could make that case too in the fact that the first two games, the Suns won by a combined 7 points. I know how tight it was and how close it was, but hey, look, plus, you know, I guess the Clippers need to be hit in the mouth first. That's fine. They got out of that hole against Dallas and they got out of that hole against the Jazz. And you could make the case that if you keep doing that, you're playing with fire, but I think everybody's even, honestly.
Yeah.
I know. Again, you looked at me like I was crazy yesterday about Atlanta. Why the hell not them?
They're there.
Why the hell not?
I mean, we'll find out Monday. I mean, game two tonight in Milwaukee. Obviously, it's a must-win for the Bucks. They've got to protect the home court. They got to get a split now.
I would think so. I don't think anything's must-win anymore in these playoffs. I mean, honestly, anything can happen.
Unless you're down.
You know what I smell? Three. I smell like somebody being down 3-1, and it comes, which never happens, unless, of course, it involves the Clippers. But
Yankees, Red Sox.
Absolutely anything can happen.
Yeah.
It's been amazing, man. It truly has been fun. It has been remarkable. And we're going to talk about it with Rex Chapman coming up in about 10 minutes' time. One of the things I want to talk about with Rex is Ben Simmons. We talked about this at the end of the show yesterday, that in Chicago, Woj reporting that the Sixers brass and Rich Paul of Clutch Sports hashing it out. Simmons hasn't demanded a trade, but as you know, Philadelphia fans have essentially demanded it. If you're quiet, you can hear the chirping on WIP radio from here all the way in Los Angeles. And you know,
why would Simmons be the one to ask for a trade? Like,
I know that.
What?
Yeah.
You know, I had 19 points the entire series, so I'm going to ask for a trade. Like, I didn't dunk the ball when you know, TJ could have laid it up, but no, I'm going to ask for, come on.
Yes, it is interesting framing by Woj in his tweet and in his story and his reporting.
Someone's telling him something, though.
Well, like I said, I don't think it's a tenable relationship anymore. You know what team I think would jump on Simmons? And none of us have mentioned it yet. And, of course, this is all fantasy basketball.
The Spurs?
That's the one.
Oh, yeah? That's who you're going to say?
I was going with that one.
Hey, Rich.
Don't the Spurs – doesn't
we're developing synergy, bro.
I mean, that's why we're here together. You know what I'm saying?
Like, the Spurs,
I don't know. Like, don't you think this is a guy that Pop will take him? He'll play his defense. He'll figure out a way to keep Simmons from being exposed in the manner in which he was just exposed. And Duncan will take him aside and say, here's the 600 shots you need to take.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What better coach than Pop, right?
And then Duncan, man.
You know what I mean?
Because yesterday my thought was like, I'm making a list
staff,
of
top-notch staff
who we could get for him. And DeMar DeRozan was a guy. I'm like, maybe we could trade him for DeMar DeRozan. That's just why I said the Spurs. But
I don't know. The Spurs, just, and you know, Kawhi did well there. Duncan did well there. It's quiet there. It's really quiet there. Yeah. The Riverwalk isn't, but the rest of that's pretty damn quiet. And I don't know. That's just the spot where it just leapt out at me. And it's not like the NFL, but it is similar in the fact you get him out of your conference. You only see him twice a year, once in your building, and that's the end of that. I don't know. I just kind of threw that one out there. But I would say dollars to the old donuts that we're not going to see Simmons play another game for the Philadelphia 76ers. I would bet on that one. We're also going to talk about this this series and the resumption of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight with Mark Jones. He will be joining
us.
I have not spoken to Mark Jones. I didn't speak to him very much when I was at
ESPN. I was going to say, what was your interaction there?
Not much, because I think the NBA Today that he was the host of and shooting free throws doing, you know, when he was at the end of the show and the lights would dim and he would shoot his free throw. And if I'm not mistaken, that was at like 5 in the afternoon. I think that was before Roy Firestone's Up Close.
Up Close. Love that.
I used to love that.
And I think it preceded the Roy Firestone Up Close. And I didn't get to work sometimes till 6 o'clock at night. And Mark got there in 90, which predated my tenure there by 6 years. I don't know how many conversations I had with him in the hallways ever. But I'd love the way that he calls basketball games for ESPN. And the stories that I cannot wait to hear from him, because, you know, he called a ton of games before he did college. Bill Walton did NBA games.
Wow.
So he's got Bill Walton stories, Hubie Brown stories, Doris Burke stories, as he's calling games with her right now.
That's awesome.
And then he's had a front row seat to all the NBA contests going on this year. I mean, this is, and I'm into it. I'm enjoying the wide open, anything can happen as long as it doesn't take a half an hour to finish 90 seconds. I'm in.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in. Also on this program, on our rundown today, is the NFL yesterday. We did not hit this. The NFL yesterday announced that they're going to have alternate helmets allowed. And
starting in 2022.
Yes, they're going to allow alternate helmets, which the first thing I thought of was Pat the Patriot.
Pat
Get
the
ready
Patriot.
For that.
Those are the best ones.
Also, the swashbuckler with the knife in his mouth for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They can go full popsicle.
Creamsicle.
Right? And Brady, I can't wait to see what a 45-year-old man looks in that. But we've come up with some that we don't want to see recycled.
Oh, okay, great.
We're going the other way. You know, normally we're a glass half-full program.
This is a good way to go. I like it.
Also, tonight could be the closing of an old school barn in the NHL. And congratulations to the fans of the Montreal Canadiens. Les Habitants are back in the Stanley Cup Finals. By the way, it's NBA Final, Stanley Cup Finals.
Oh, no, you other way around.
No, it's the Stanley Cup Finals. I'm seeing that. It's the other way around? You sure about that?
Yeah, Stanley Cup Final.
Oh.
NBA Finals.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, long story short, the Montreal Canadiens back in the Stanley Cup Final.
Stanley Cup Final.
And that brings to mind some memories of the Nassau Coliseum that could close down tonight if the Tampa Bay Lightning beat the Islanders in an Eastern Conference Final Game 7. And I can't wait to tell some stories about that. And then TJ Jefferson, you sent an email around to everybody. Hey, if you want to have a conversation, this day in TJ Jefferson history, NBA history, and pop culture history.
Yeah.
King of pop culture history.
Yeah.
That's going to be coming up later on in this program. And the phone lines are already lit. We always appreciate people who are either watching us on NBC Sports on Peacock, which, by the way, you can get at peacocktv.com to see us. Certainly, since we're going to be talking about segments about old school NFL helmets that we don't want to see anymore. You can also listen to us on NBC Sports Audio Channel 211, NBC Sports on Peacock, and then that Sirius station. We follow Dan Patrick every day. Stream for free on Odyssey. That's good times. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Rich Eisen Show. And TikTok now, at The Rich Eisen Show. Which we have to change for various reasons. For two reasons. One, we want to be consistent. At Rich Eisen Show is what we are on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And I cannot have anything that I do as The Rich Eisen Show. We cannot do that.
How did you think about that?
How did you not think about that? And just in case you need to know this sort of sensibility that I have, if you're somehow new to this program, the San Diego Padre that we're having on today is not Fernando Tatis Jr. and not Manny Machado. It's the man who hits in between those two. From the University of Michigan, Jake Cronenworth, who is hitting the cover off the baseball. And Del Tufo, you could hear his disappointment now that he is not here on the day that the lovely and talented and one of the stars of Lionsgate's Die in a Gunfight, Emmanuel Shariki, will join us in hour number three.
Yes, indeed.
Rex Chapman, Mark Jones, Jake Cronenworth, Emmanuel Shariki, and you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. The one and only Rex Chapman, Mr. Block or Charge himself, joins us next to talk about these NBA playoffs on The Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. Or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. What is going on with you, Jim Brockmeyer and Brett Musburger?
This is my Musburger face. No, you can't put that to bed, Rich Eisen. You know why you can't put it to bed?
Okay.
Because he's a punk. That's why. Brett Musburger is a P-U-N-K punk. The man is a thief. Okay? Brett Musburger is a thief.
How so?
Stole my line.
What line was that?
This is for all the Tostitos. Remember that? This is for all the Tostitos. Remember when he said that? Everybody in the business, no, it's not funny. Everybody in the business knows that was my line. But he went ahead and used, that's what I always yell when I climax inside of a woman. Or when I'm just, when I climax all by myself. Musburger knew that was my line. He used it anyway at the BCS title game. And ever since then, now I have to yell out, Ruffles have ridges. And it's not... It's not the same thing. So verdict, what's the verdict of all that? What did you take from that?
He's a punk.
Musburger's a punk. That's right.
Here is Brent Musburger. How are you, Brent?
Hey, Rich, I'm great. Listen, you guys, you and the producers, you deserve, oh man, a pat on the back. I'm so proud of you guys for trying to help resurrect little Jimmy Brickmeyer's career. We all know the problems. We all know the problems that he had in the past. But if anybody can help Brickmeyer, it's you, Rich.
Yeah, well, he says that you stole all the Tostitos from him, Brent. Is that true, or what do you know? From back
no,
in the day?
I got paid. I got paid by a company to drop the name. I got free Tostitos for a week. What are you talking about?
Okay.
What's he talking about? You know?
All right.
The man's delusional. We know he's got mental problems to break down, you know. It's really interesting because as we started VSiN here in Las Vegas, and Brickmeyer was having trouble getting a job. So he called our executives and, you know, I got to be perfectly honest. Mm-hmm. Don't tell anybody this, but we always talk to prospective announcers just to get an idea. Do they really know anything about sports gambling, or are they just pretending? And I got to tell you, our general manager, he interviewed Brickmeyer and asked him about a three-team parlay. And our boy, Jimmy, he thought that was two hookers with him in a Morristown hotel room. You know, Jesus, we would have loved to help him out, but we just can't. I wish him the best. He's so delusional. And listen, let him go at it. For all the Tostitos, baby.
Then we got Costas to mediate the dispute. Great. Go to our YouTube page for all of that.
Epic.
Oh, man. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll take your phone calls in a moment, but he's one of my favorite people I've gotten to meet. And we met through Twitter. So Twitter's not a terrible disaster pit of misery and a cesspool. It is filled with nice things, too, especially when it's tweeted out by this guy who I love, is Rex Chapman, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Rex?
Hello, Rich. How are you, buddy?
I am better for talking to you.
Happy Friday.
Yeah, same to you. And sometimes, you know, we get lucky when we book somebody like yourself. And it seems like breaking news going on the worldwide leader in sports right now. Looks like the Mavericks are finalizing a deal to make Jason Kidd their next head coach. What do you think about all that, Rex?
I love it. That's my dude.
I know.
Jay Kidd.
I know. Looks like it.
I was never as good a player before or after playing with Jason Kidd.
No kidding.
He made me so much better. He made everybody so much better. Just an amazing player. I'm really pumped for Jay if this is actually true. He had a couple of opportunities right out of playing, and they went so-so, and he went, and he sat on the bench as an assistant for a couple years in L.A., and I'm fired up for Jason Kidd, and I think he'll do a terrific job.
What do you think, you know, obviously he knows the owner, he knows the territory, he knows the place and franchise. What do you think he could do if this is in fact going to happen? How can he be the Luka whisperer? What do you think? How might that work?
My guess is that, you know, Luka probably had a little input that they weren't going to hire anybody without checking with Luka, I would assume.
Yes.
So Jason is he's a terrific communicator. You know, Luka's vision. So I know that Jason's going to be able, he'll be on the same wavelength with him. I think it'll be a really good match. You know, they've got some personnel stuff that they have to shore up, but getting Jason, because I think it's a terrific deal for them, because if not, he's going to be coaching one of these other openings.
Rex Chapman here on the Rich Eisen Show. I did hear you on DP's show earlier this week right here on NBC Sports on Peacock talking about Kidd, mentioning him when the subject of Ben Simmons came up.
Yeah.
I would love to give you the floor on this, certainly since Kidd is in the headlines right now. And so is Simmons, about Kidd's experience and how maybe Simmons can learn from it.
Yeah, you know, when I watch Ben Simmons play, he's getting a lot of slander right now. And look, I get it. He's a pro being paid a lot of money to play basketball. He's never been a scorer. For us to think that he's just going to become a scorer overnight is outrageous. I'm not sure that he and Joel will ultimately work together, only because they're both so young. They need, like, for instance, We played with Jason in Phoenix. We had a veteran team, myself, Kevin Johnson, Jason Kidd, Danny Manning, Cliff Robinson. And when we first got Jason, the knock on him was that he couldn't shoot. They called him Ason because he didn't have a J. when I'd come off a screen, I'd have Jason's man and my man right in my lap. And, you know, I'd be like, Jay, you've got to shoot it. Make or miss, you've got to shoot it. And so we kind of coached him up through that. And then he started making shots. And if I'm not mistaken, he's like one of the top three or four made three-point shooters in history now. So it's going to take some time for Ben. I hope that he's able to kind of get over this because you can tell it's messing with his head. He's a fantastic player. He doesn't have any other holes in his game. But this is something he's going to have to tackle head on.
How did Kid do it? Did you have a front row seat to watch it? Work. What do you mean?
Work. Reps. You know, Jay at every level, high school, college, he didn't have to shoot. He was so fast. He'd just get to the basket anytime he wanted to. And, Rondo, when Rajon came in, much the same. It took time. It's going to take time for Ben. But I know the thing I don't know is if Ben is really, really being diligent about it. Jason was, and Rajon was, and that means thousands of shots in the summer, you know, hundreds a day. And that's what it reps, man, reps, you know.
Just keep working on. You know, Doc. I mean, you know, Doc knows this. He knows this. So, what do you think it is? Do you think he needs? If you will get through to him, or that a change of venue is what really might be necessary, and what appears to be taking place, based on Woj's reporting that at the combine, Sixers brass and Rich Paul of Clutch are chit chatting about this subject right now.
Rich. Yeah, I'm sure that he's going to be talked about and trade discussions this summer. But man, I just don't know. He's so young, so gifted. I don't know that I could give up on him that quickly. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of market is out there for him.
Well, I think there's going to be one, right? I mean, like, who do you think where do you think a good fit might be if we just extrapolate this out to the summer,
man,
Rex?
I don't know. You got to put him with shooters. You have to have, a team full of shooters. Can you imagine him on the Bucks?
I'm sure the Bucks could, but and the Blazers too, right?
Right.
What about Portland? Right. Like, I mean, you got Lillard, you got McCollum, you got the rest of that team shooting. Like,
yeah, but you got to give up somebody to get him. Who
no
do you give
question.
Up?
I know. I don't think it. I know we are just playing fantasy basketball right now, right?
Right.
But
right.
And you'd have to go to a place where he's not hearing it from the crowd. That's why I think he's got to go. Philadelphia
about,
is just the Philadelphia
what
fans.
What about Dallas?
Maybe so. What, Porzingis? You want to send the old unicorn back to that division?
There's no way that you could trade Simmons for Porzingis. No way. I mean, no, that doesn't work. Porzingis is not that player. Not that kind of player.
I know.
Right?
I know that the Dallas is rumored to be wanting to maybe get out of all of that. It's just
I can imagine. No, really?
I know, right? Rex Chapman here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's just remove the fact that the Hawks are up 1-0 and that the Suns are up 2-1 right now. Mm-hmm. Rank the four remaining teams with the best chance to win, do you think, to win it all, Rex?
Suns, Bucks, Hawks, Clips.
Clips are last, huh? Because Kawhi's hurt or what?
Yes, yeah. I was at game one and two in Phoenix. No, just one. Just two, sorry. And the Kawhi thing, I mean, Kawhi is a top five player in the game, maybe top two. I mean, he's so good. And removing him, and obviously he's badly hurt or too bad to play in this series because he definitely would have come back last night, right? They're just not the same. Paul has to carry a heavy, heavy load. And then they've got to get guys who last night did, guys like Patrick Beverley, making jump shots. They've got to slap two or three in a night, and that's not what Pat Bev does. He's a terrific player, but they're just limited, you know. And the other thing, where the place that they're limited is they have no rim protection. I like Zubac. He plays really hard, but Phoenix just plays over the top of him. They'd come off pick and rolls and just throw it to the rim and play over the top. And that's something right now that the Clips can't do. They don't have really anybody but Paul to attack the rack like that. I think they're in trouble. I kind of hope they're in trouble.
I know, because I know you're a Suns guy. So is that why you put the Suns one? Is that heart and head together, or you just don't like what you see out of the Bucks and Hawks, or what? What do you got for me there, Rich?
Well, I saw the Bucks play Brooklyn last week, and I just think that they're flawed. I love Chris Middleton. I love Jrue Holiday. But I think that Giannis is so ball dominant. You know, they don't even pick him up. People pick him up in the paint. They don't even go out and honor him at the top of the key, much less the three-point line. And also sitting courtside, seeing those guys, sitting courtside and watching Phoenix play. Phoenix with Chris Paul, in my opinion, is the most complete team left. They have size, they have veterans, they have youth. They share the ball. I mean, the ball just moves. They share the ball like a college team, and they love their coach, man. They love Monty Williams. That guy's come in there, and, you know, you hear about culture change all the time. Well, yep, he did it, and those guys love him. They'll do anything for him, and it's a dangerous team.
How about that Valley-oop, man? What was that like to see in person? What was
unreal.
That like?
I mean, that's the thing about going live sports, man, just going. Mm. I've been in, you know, I've seen thousands of games, played in many, many. And still, the other night, an ending we've never seen before. I mean, just art. It was, and then I caught myself several times during the game looking around in that arena and just going, man.
Yep. People.
This time last year, mm-hmm. Nothing. We all missed this. I mean, and it's just, you know, it's community. Man, it was fun. Just really fun. But that play was unbelievable. What a pass.
Right.
I don't know if you know this. Jay Crowder.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Crowder's dad, Corey Crowder, played for my dad, Wayne Chapman, at Kentucky Wesleyan College.
Small world.
So I got to watch Corey play a little bit in college, where he's a little younger.
Yes.
But he was Division II Player of the Year twice. And they won a title, and he was a really good D2 player, really good. Played for the Jazz for about a year.
That finish, Rex, you know, that finish from everything, from the play call, Monty Williams, right? Mm-hmm. The pass where Crowder had to, you know, had to loop it over the backboard pretty much, or avoid the backboard, get it in the vicinity of the rim for Ayton to not catch and jam, but just basically touch. And jam, and then but the ultimate was the screen on Zubac by a guy who had a broken nose in three places,
right? Which, you know, Devin Booker. The reason that play works is because they think Devin may just come right off of there,
right,
and catch and shoot. It was a great pick, great pass. I think I loved most about it was I saw a couple angles of Jay standing out of bounds and just, you know, perfect. He let the play develop. He's looking one way, and then boom, throws it completely the other way, and it's game over. Just beautiful.
I do have to, you know, I guess is a phrase for it, stand for the Clippers and say that, you know, replay gave Monty Williams the timeout to draw that thing up for everybody. I mean, that finish too. What was that like in the building? Half an hour for
crazy.
90 seconds to finish.
You know,
right?
At a couple points, you know, fans started grumbling and all that stuff, but it was just. It was so enthralling. I'm not sure, you know, people were into it. And I got to say, too, Pat Beverly, that dude, he should get paid extra for being just that villain in every movie because he plays a great bad guy. You would hate playing against him. You would hate watching him. Phoenix, every building can't stand him, and he relishes that. It's funny to watch him. It's comedy. It's entertainment the whole time just watching Patrick Beverly.
You didn't like that role, Rex?
Being in that role? Man, I kind of liked it.
I mean, what's the quietest you shut up in arena, Rex Chapman?
Ooh, wow. I don't know.
College or pro, where you took a shot and
it was game over.
Yeah, and when did you ever shimmy before taking a shot as well?
That was the other thing. That is kind of different now. Every time you do something now, you're supposed to have a little thing that you do, right?
I guess Trey Young's doing it. I mean, but
you know, the first person I think that I saw kind of mug for the camera that I can remember, and it turned me off, and then we ended up being teammates, and I forgot all about it. Chris Webber, Fab Five.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, he would dunk it, and then he would, like, look at the camera and.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? That was a whole new thing. I was like, whoa. That's not part of the game, is it?
And then he became your teammate, and it's like, keep doing it.
Yep. And I started doing it.
So when did you ever, do you have a good memory of shutting people up? Like Tom ticking
down? No, I mean, I can remember some game winners and stuff, but I don't really remember the best ones are just, you know, late games on away at away venues where, you know, you just make a dagger in front of the bench. And they got to call a timeout, and the whole crowd's just cussing you out. It's beautiful.
And then, I guess, before I let you go on the subject of Trae Young, I'm fascinated. I get fascinated by people who hear opportunity knock, and they don't just answer the door. They rip it off the hinges, you know? And that's what he's doing right now. And I believe that he can make a shot wherever, whenever he wants. Like, you know, and I know saying it's like Lillard – or Curry is heresy when somebody's just beginning to do it. But he's also dangerous in the paint. So, you know, he can beat you off the dribble. He can create. And then when he's creating because of what he's doing, I think everybody else believes they can make their shot too. It's infectious. And I believe, I'm wondering what you think about the Hawks opportunity here.
I like the Hawks. I love Nate, of course. Played against him forever. You know, what a great pro, Nate McMillan. They've just got a young, you know, and they're missing a small forward. Trae Young, I kind of try to pride myself in knowing players, go and watch players and being able to tell who can play. I couldn't stand Trae Young. I was glad he didn't come to Kentucky. And then I thought, oh my God, I can't believe they're taking him third in the draft. And I couldn't have been more wrong. Could not have been more wrong. I'm happy to say that I'm wrong, because what a fantastic player. The other thing I think that is discounted with him, watch him sometimes. Just watch him when he's running without the ball. He's a great runner. He's really fast. He's faster than you think he is, and he covers. He's got a big, long stride. Check Trey out. Yes, he's small, and he plays kind of small because he doesn't attack the rim. But if he gets the other thing that goes – without that should be said, he passes with both hands equally well. I mean, he'll come off a screen to his left and whip a hook pass from, you know, one side of the court to the corner on the other side on the money. Just a beautiful player. They're dangerous. They're playing with a lot of confidence, much like the Suns.
So I love how you keep bringing it back to that. Why weren't you sold on Trae Young to begin with, first blush?
I don't know. Historically, and the game has changed recently. For years and years, I didn't like, you know, I didn't particularly like scoring little guards. You know, I just thought back in the day, they would just get taken advantage of defensively. You know, you had to find the right. It's different now. Little guards aren't posted up. You know, you can't touch and hold and grab like you used to be able to. Quickness rules, athleticism rules, and he's got all of that.
So when you said you used to not like scoring little guards, you didn't tell that to Steph Curry, who was a guest on the Rex Chapman Show with Mr. Josh Hopkins, right?
I'm talking little. He's 6'3".
Okay.
I mean, we're talking, you know, what's Trey? 6'1"? Plays like 5'10"?
Well, my social media grandmaster TJ Jefferson posted after he torched his Sixers that he looked like the Gerber baby. So that they lost to Opie Cunningham, is how it referred to Kevin Herter, putting a picture of Ron Howard up there next to the Opie Gerber baby, saying that he lost to the Gerber baby and Opie Cunningham.
Facts.
You know. Who's on charges? Who's on that? By the way, congrats on the charting of this podcast. It's one of the top sports podcasts out there. Charges, where you have a guest on to talk real life with. Who's next? Who do you have?
Man, we just had. I just had. I don't know a lot about hockey. Mm-hmm. But just had Chris Nyland on, enforcer from back in the day with the Canadiens. That was magnificent. Next week.
Yes.
Two-parter.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Okay. What do you
We're going to do 2 weeks.
Okay.
I sat down for a couple of hours with
yes.
Stevie Jackson and Matt Barnes.
Okay. And you got all the smoke. You got all the smoke.
Well, we're going to release half the smoke. and then the remainder of the smoke.
Okay. So we're chopping up the smoke.
That's right.
Okay. Very good. You didn't inhale, is what you're saying in the first episode.
That's right.
And you exhale.
Okay.
Very good.
So that's going to be. I'm telling you, Rich, there are three or four of the things that they said during this that my mouth just dropped to the floor.
Okay.
Really good stuff. And then, you know, who's coming shortly thereafter is Jason Williams, big Jason Williams.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Well, you will have a lot to talk about with him, Rex.
Yes, we will.
Oh,
yes,
my will. Word.
So it's all going good. Really, really fun, buddy. Thank
Charges,
you
of course. Charges with Rex Chapman podcast, the Rex Chapman Show with Josh Hopkins podcast, and, of course, also at Rex Chapman. The block of charge is still going, and all the other beautiful videos that you spread for some good love, man. You're the best. Thanks for the call, Rex.
Anytime, Rich.
We'll do it again
soon. Whenever you want me.
Right back at you. That's Rex Chapman right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Love that guy, man. Whew. A lot of great stories. He's just got all sorts.
And that Jason Williams pod is going to be something.
Boy. Lots to talk about.
Wow.
Let's take a break. He mentioned hockey. We will turn our attention to the potential closing of a building on Long Island and the history that I have with that building. And we'll talk a little bit of pucks when we come back and your phone calls. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Coughlin ever been on Entourage? Did you try to get Coughlin on?
No, we did have Dicka. We had Barry Alvarez in terms of coaching. We never had Coughlin. We were supposed to have Eli. The only giant we had, Strahan was on. Strahan did come on and did a cameo. That was the only giant.
There you go. There's your giant guy.
Yeah.
Has Belichick ever been reached out to be on Entourage?
His son was hanging out on the set.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? I guess his son is good friends with Doug Allen.
Okay.
And he kind of, I don't know if it was like an intern kind of thing. I think spent the summer where he spent some time on the set just kind of maybe shadowing Doug and observing. I mean, look, we had Brady. And Belichick.
Twice.
Yeah, we had Brady
him on
twice.
In the movies and on the show.
Right.
And Gronk's in the movie.
Well, and Edelman.
Edelman's in the movie. Yes. Gronk's in the movie. Yes. Russell Wilson, we know, is in the movie because somebody broke a leg.
Yeah. The pass heard around the world.
Right. I mean, walk me through that. What happened on
the actual play?
Yeah. What happened with Russell Wilson?
You know, it was supposed to be, there's a beach montage kind of party scene. And Doug was like, we'll get a shot of Russell, you know, throwing you guys some passes. You guys will go one-on-one a little bit. And of course, we made the agreement like, all right, let's go easy. Mm-hmm. But Connolly drilled me on the first take. I do a little 5-yard out and he just pops me. And then we just went back and forth a couple times. I think the actual play, you know, post-route, he caught it. I kind of wrapped him up, and I think the play was stopping, and he tried to extend to break the plane.
Sort of like Dez in Green Bay.
Exactly, and like left his feet, and I kind of slid down his body a little bit, and I think my weight...
You snapped his leg.
Yeah.
You snapped Kevin Connolly's leg as he's trying to score on a Russell Wilson
connection.
You were like
Lawrence Taylor on Theismann.
I still am not over it because... football players in the building, you'd think someone would be like, oh, he broke his leg. Everyone's like, ah, it's a high ankle sprain. Guy worked for like 2 more days.
Did he?
Finally got x-rays.
He walked around
on
a broken leg doing scenes, doing these walking talks. Tough kid. Tough kid.
So
Iron Man.
Did the take it at least make the movie? Did it make the final cut?
Is it in there?
I don't think it is.
No.
They got to put that in. I mean, that's come on. That's an outrage.
Oh, I think the one of him laying me out's in there. So
we have to unlock the picture. Right now, he broke his leg
over and over again, trying to figure out what happened.
Is it a Bruner film?
It was pretty hard to watch, you know.
That was a blast back in the day, man. YouTube.com/RichEisen Show for all of that. Kevin Connolly is going to be glued tonight to NBCSN 8 Eastern Time, or right here on Peacock. Right here on Peacock. Yep. That's good stuff. That was fun. Emmanuel Shrieky on an hour number 3 of the program. You know.
Del Tufo did tweet out that he's got a new idea for the first date.
It's too bad. He's not here. So I'm only talking about the guys who are here.
I don't have any.
You can't do Rich.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Hey, tonight on NBCSN at 8 Eastern Time and also right here on Peacock, coverage of the Stanley Cup playoff semifinals, Game 7 between the Islanders and the Lightning, and then the Stanley Cup final also. Coverage available on Peacock. Go to peacocktv.com to get Peacock. And it is free to get Peacock. We're free every day right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. So if the Tampa Bay Lightning wins tonight, if they win tonight, that would mean the end of the building that opened up on Long Island in 1972. The great Nassau Coliseum, and I say great as a heavy lift because I'm from the city of New York and I despised the Islanders. but that building has a lot of history in it, and the history of the Islanders winning 4 straight Stanley Cups, one of the most memorable phrases, I think, in sports, that was right there in front of me every single day. And as a Ranger fan, I hated it. The drive for 5. They won 4 straight Stanley Cups. And the drive for 5, Mike Bossy. I will give him their props. Again, I was a Ranger fan, rooting for Barry Beck to shoot the damn puck and try and win for the first time in my lifetime and in the lifetime of so many people in the city of New York at that time. And then to see the Islanders win 4 in a row with Potvin and Bossy and Billy Smith in between the pipes. He was a mean cur, man. And but he was incredible. Bobby Nystrom. Oh, my gosh. Al Arbor on the bench. And that building out in Nassau Coliseum. It can be closed up tonight and some of the memories, but of course, if they win, they move on, and face the Canadiens, who, by the way, before the Islanders won 4 in a row, Montreal won 4 in a row.
So I'm looking at Stanley Cup champions right now from 1976 to 1988.
Yeah, it was the Islanders, the Canadiens.
Three teams won the championships.
Right, the Edmonton Oilers ended the drive for 5.
Yeah.
And the Islanders won four in a row after the Canadians won.
The Canadians won four in a row. Yep. The Islanders won 4-0. The Oilers went back-to-back. The Canadians won in 86, and then the Oilers went 87-88.
Yeah, man.
Three teams in 12 seasons.
And if the Islanders win, they would host game one of the Stanley Cup final on Monday against Montreal, which, as we know here in Los Angeles, has not been back after they beat the Los Angeles Kings in checking Marty McSorley's stick. So my, however, history with Nassau Coliseum, February 25th, 1985. Were you born yet, Chris?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I'm born in 80.
Okay, so you were 5 years of age.
5 years.
I was a junior in high school.
Okay.
And the number of my friends that made fun of me because my favorite band was Chicago. I wore out Chicago's greatest hits on cassette tape. Wore it out. I just listened to it over and over and over again.
You let your tape rock till your tape pop.
But when I was in high school, Chicago became more of a soft rock band. You know, that was when Pete Cetera was singing songs about the glory of love and stuff like that, right? Man. And, you know, you're a hard habit to break. And I was into that, too.
Addicted to you, baby.
And Chicago was on tour. And I don't know how my memory gets fuzzy, but I don't remember who else was with us. But there was a classmate of mine who I was, what's the word for it, into.
There you go.
And I remember her name. Should I say it here on Rich Eisen Show?
Well,
should I do it?
Dangerous.
Why is it dangerous? My wife's on a plane.
Oh.
Well, yeah, there you go.
Go for it.
Did I say that? No, but it's also, I'm a happily married man.
We were just making sure, Rich. We were just making sure.
This is high school. What's the matter with you guys? Her name was Kristen Osdahl. I don't know where she is today.
How do we spell her last name?
Google alert. I don't know where she is today, but she was also
We're about to find out, Rich.
She was also into Chicago. I think I asked her to the concert. There were other people. I'm sure there were other people, you know.
At the concert?
Sadly,
yeah.
Sadly, there is no way to confirm it independently because the person who drove us there, may he rest in peace, was my dad.
Oh, okay.
And this was a time where, I mean, Long Island, to get to Long Island from Staten Island, you had to leave early and you were going to get home late. And this is also way before, this is payphone era. This is when I was calling sports phone to find out the scores.
Yeah.
Did you need a passport to get there too?
Crossing county lines, you know? And my dad, so we dropped us off, and God bless him, he drove around the vicinity of Long Island, Nassau Coliseum, and just, what time do you think the concert's going to end? I'll pick you up right here. Because you can't call a cell phone, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like he was going to be at this spot, and I don't know how long the concert was going to be. Especially since I didn't know the opening act was a comedian.
What?
Yes. There was no warm-up band. It was a comic. I do not remember either.
Oh, man.
Inside Nassau Coliseum.
1985.
Wow. February 25th, 1985.
Yeah, it's my son's birthday.
Yeah. Who knew?
I was 2 months old.
And you were 2 months?
Yep.
And my chances with Kristen lasted 2 seconds.
She wasn't feeling the power of love?
She was a hard habit to break.
I had another question there, but I... we'll save that for the break.
Yep.
Wow.
What was your first concert? Do you remember?
I do remember. Not a big concert person growing up. The New York State Fair in September of 1999.
Right.
I saw 98 Degrees.
98 Degrees.
Opening act, Britney Spears.
Wow.
Nice.
She's in the news these days.
She's in the news.
How about you, TJ? You remember your first concert?
You know, I don't really remember the first concert. Because like Brockman, I love concerts, but somehow I'd never know they're going on until the day after. Right. But I remember maybe the best concert I ever saw, and this might shock you, was 92, 94, somewhere along there. I worked at Three River Stadium.
Right by the Confluence.
Yes. I got a I got a security job for the Pirates that summer, so we got to work concerts, and I got to see Guns N' Roses and Metallica.
Whoa.
Oh, and wow. By the way, it was Manganiello could have been there.
He could have been there.
that sounds like right up his alley.
And Faith No More opened, and it might have been the great. I was in awe, and I'm supposed to be working, but I'm like, 17, 18. I'm just watching Guns N' Roses and Metallica, the greatest concert I've ever seen.
Wow.
Shocker, I know. But
844-204-RICH, number to dial. I don't everybody tell us. We call in. Let's stroll down concert memory lane. That'll be fun. Mark Jones, speaking of memory lane, an old colleague of mine from back in the day. He's still with ESPN. Let's talk more NBA playoffs with one of our I enjoy his calls on ESPN. That's coming up in hour number two and more.
How do we spell her name again?
Oh, come on. Come on.
Is it with a K?
Yes.
Founder.
Have you really?
No.
I shouldn't say it like that. Really? Told you she was a hard habit to break.
I'm addicted to you,
I can't,
baby.
Like, one of those things, again, like, I can't believe my dad drove us out there.
And so he just sat around.
I think he did, yeah, because you can't go back to Staten Island. As the crow flies, it's a long way. And then, when you're talking about going across the Verrazano Bridge and the Belt Parkway and all the way to Nassau County on Long Island, that is a long-ass drive.
Yeah, he didn't go home and come back.
You cannot go home and come back. No, you got to stay out there.
So he probably went to the movies, maybe.
I have
a bite
to eat. No idea what he did.
You didn't think to ask Pop, what did you do this whole time? You never asked?
No, because it was all about what I was trying to...
What he was trying to do.
And I do remember, wondering how the comedian was struggling. I mean, it was just, that's a struggle.
So it's not like it was Dice Clay or something.
No.
That's who I thought you were going to say.
No,
I was waiting
no.
on. Because yesterday you mentioned Dice.
That
I was like, oh, this is Dice.
No, that predates Dice. Dice wasn't 1985, I don't think.
I don't
was
think
he?
So
that's like almost.
Was he, Fort Fairlane? That could have been his time.
85 was, I think, Dice's era, I think.
Was it? I don't know. It kind of predates him,
I
think.
Does it? Okay. It's kind of like, you ever see Almost Famous?
Of course.
So that's almost like Frances McDormand when she dropped her son off at the concert.
Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs. And she just drove around whistling when the show was over as Penny Lane was trying to, get him to come hang out with them.
Yeah, I think 85 was before Dice.
Yeah,
really
I think it was. But all I remember is just there was a lot of murmuring. The lights were up inside the Nassau Coliseum. They were and it was... It was a rough crowd. Everyone's just like, we're like, okay, let's get 25 or 6-4 going here, man. And it was Saturday in the Park is my favorite Chicago tune. That is just amazing. That's a perfect song.
4th of July, man.
Does anybody really know what time it is?
That's another one, too. That was another one, too. That's probably what my dad was wondering as he's just waiting for us to get home. It's probably we were after midnight. We got home. I remember that.
What did we do before? Like,
dude, isn't that amazing?
Right?
Look at Seinfeld. No cell phones in Seinfeld. If there were cell phones in Seinfeld, half the episodes wouldn't have happened. Leave a message at the tone.